We're going to get started in a minute. We were just giving everyone, there were a few people still signing up to speak tonight, so we're just giving them a minute, and then we'll bring the sheet in before we get started. Will, you good then? Good evening, everyone. We're going to start tonight's City Council meeting. I ask we all rise for the pledge to the flag. The clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Remix.
Present.
Ms. Quiatek.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Colon.
Present. Approval of the minutes from August 2nd, 2022. Any comments on the minutes?
Just one comment. Page 5. James was from SBHS, not HCC.
Thank you, Dr. Enix. Any other comments on the minutes? aside from Mr. James? All right, then the minutes stand approved. Public comment, we're going to start with any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. Just a YouTube reminder, if you start this meeting after 7, please make sure to scroll ahead so that the YouTube stream is current rather than a recording of an earlier portion of the meeting. I'll start with anyone who signed up to speak and then work our way through the room. And again, this is for any subject not being voted on this evening. So I will start with our first commenter, and that's Ms. Lazeski. And I ask if everyone could give their name and address for the record when you come up to the lectern.
Hello and good evening. I'd like to start with my name and address. My name is Anna, A-N-N-A, Lazeski, L-A-Z-E-W-S-K-I, and my address is 1134 Limestone Circle, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, 18017. Anyways, good evening and thank you again for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Anna Lazeski, as I just said, and I'm a rising senior at Liberty High School this year. I've been a Girl Scout for 13 years, and I recently completed my highest award project, the Gold Award for Girl Scouts. The Gold Award is the highest award a Girl Scout can earn. To earn this award, a girl must identify a need in her community and design, lead, and execute an 80-plus hour service project that benefits this need or organization. She must also lead a team of at least 5 volunteers to help complete her project. For my project, I designed educational interactive trail content for the portion of the Monocacy Way Trail at Burnside Plantation. This content is housed virtually on the Culture Connect app and website and can be viewed using the link on the recreation website or the QR code in the brochure that I will hand out after I'm finished speaking. The content I created focuses around colonial history and sustainability and includes 4 major topics, including the history of Burnside Plantation and the Moravians in Bethlehem, how the Monocacy was used in colonial life and why it is important, the power of native plants and trees, and why sustainability is important today. The content I made includes a 12-module self-guided tour as well as an audio tour, which is 12 minutes long. And within this content, there are art and poetry prompts, as well as interactive quizzes and games to review the knowledge visitors have learned. In addition, there is a letterboxing course on Burnside Plantation, and there are clues housed on the Culture Connect app and QR code that will lead you to the answer to this letterbox. For those unfamiliar with the letterboxing concept, it is similar to a scavenger hunt. My letterbox is posted at the trailhead of the Monocacy Way Trail at Burnside Plantation, and you can also view the content using the metal traffic grade sign that is posted at Burnside with the QR code on it. This will be available to visitors at any time and anywhere if you have the link. In addition to being available to visitors at Burnside, it is also going to be available to children in our classrooms this coming year. I recently met with Dr. Silva and the Office of Curriculum, and my project is being piloted in 3rd grade classrooms at Hanover Elementary this school year. I'm very excited for my project to reach more people and to educate more people about how colonial history and our local heritage intermingles with living sustainably today. If you're curious more about my project, you can learn more using this QR code. I invite you to scan if you would like. Also for the live stream, it is available right here. And you can also learn more about it using the brochure that I will hand Mr. Kulam. Thank you very much for your attention and for listening about my project. And I hope that you decide to explore the content I created at Burnside Plantation using either this QR code, the link on the Parks and Recreation website, or the sign posted at Burnside Plantation. Thank you very much, and I hope that you enjoy your night, and thank you again for allowing me to speak tonight.
Thank you, Anna. And then we will share what you had emailed in terms of some of the materials with the documents for tonight's meeting. The clerk's office will take care of that. And then we'll discuss how we can present some of these brochures then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker signed up is Brooke Mitten.
Good evening. Good evening, President Cologne and Council. First of all, Anna, I'm so happy for you. That's very exciting. As a teacher, a mom, a grandmom now, I'm really, really excited to hear about Girl Scouts and especially your project. So I'm going to go check it out. I am actually here to present to the City of Bethlehem and our community. Oh my gosh, name and address, sorry. Brooke Mitman Rivera. My address is 4400 Fairway Drive, Easton, PA, 18045, so I'm in the township. I am here this evening as I am now the U.S.-based artist agent based here in the Lehigh Valley for a Russian-Ukrainian-born photographer. His name is Alexander Kamushin. And he goes by Sasha. Sasha's been photographing indigenous people all over his homeland in Central Asia. I did hand out some of his posters there for some of his UN-sponsored exhibits. His body of work is titled The World in Faces, and he has been exhibiting at the various United Nations locations around Europe. He was in New York in 2019, over the last few years, even during COVID. His latest exhibition was to open in Berlin in late February and March this year. However, sadly, due to the beginning of the Russian-Ukrainian war, it was not opened. Our intention is to create a world-class exhibit here in the Lehigh Valley. I'm hoping it's going to be in Bethlehem first, for many reasons, and as soon as possible, then take it on the road to all major U.S. cities. This will also be part of the start of Sasha's work, photographing our Native American Indian and our indigenous people in North, Central, and South America. It'll be probably a 2 to 5 year project. So we are hoping to engage with you all, which I also include in that list. So not only the City of Bethlehem, the Historic Moravian, of course, Historic Moravian, and all the Arts Quest, whether it's Banana Factory, Historic Bethlehem, UNESCO. I think we just have our UNESCO World Heritage Site designation solidified this year. Am I correct in that? I know we've been working on it. Local schools, faith communities, corporations, community groups, and not just to craft a stunning visual arts display, but also to create engaging and culturally diverse and enriching educational curriculum opportunities for our local children, families, visitors, and tourists from around the world. The work is intended to birth real restoration for our first people. Since the breakdown of William Penn's covenant in the Pennsylvania colony in 1737. So I believe it's only fitting that we begin the World in Faces here in the historic Moravian settlement and at the beginning of Trail of Tears. So if you go to Sasha's Facebook page, it is the World in Faces on Facebook. You can go there and see some of his work and some of his postings from his time at the United Nations, various locations around Europe. And you'll see his art, his heart, his story, the mission, his recent itinerary, and really our mission is to bring awareness, obviously awareness through education, to bring love and unity and appreciation for one another. This is truly a kind of a peace rebuilding mission, a humanitarian mission. And so, you know, what's been going on in the world not only affects indigenous people, we know all the things that have been happening with it, but really all of us have been in and certainly in turmoil in Sasha's nations and, of course, our nation as well. So I right now have some commitments from Lehigh to do some things on the educational front and really just want to present to you this evening as our community to see if we can. I'd really like to start something, I think, in November through the holiday season so we can kind of collaborate with the Christmas City. So looking for some spaces on maybe perhaps Main Street and or on the south side and the north side. But I think if we can split up the pieces, and they're large. They're 7 feet by 5 feet. So very, very cool. And I think that's really all I have. So just putting it before you. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Thank you for coming out this evening.
Thank you.
You're welcome to stick around to the end of the meeting if you want to talk to any of us one-on-one afterwards.
Certainly. Thank you.
Our next speaker signed up is Mr. Avila.
Hello. Good evening. My name is Mr. Avila. I'm the general manager of a Mexico Lindo restaurant at 720 Main Street in Bethlehem. Today I'm here because this year's Music Fest has concluded in the past summer. Music Fest is aimed for the entertainment and enjoyment of the people. In some cases, it's also an opportunity for some business and establishments to make profit. But not for all of the business around the community. As such, most establishments either decide to change to make business, or some just decide to take an opportunity to go on a small break. Such is the case for Mexico Lindo restaurant, as for many years we had opted to take the chance and go and taking a small break. But unfortunately, this year, due to the rise of the prices and inflation, we have forced to stay open for the occasion, which is Music Fest. Which is our employees were more than happy to help us with, since it meant some more extra hours. For the week, we had arranged for some music to be played on our premises. We had this on mind to do this so it will go with the theme as such music of the festival, and also to stand out to potential customers. Everything was going perfectly fine during the week. Through the week, many people were happy with the music. Some of them were even dancing while passing the restaurant, while others were just sitting on the benches across the street, sitting and enjoying it. Even some of the neighbors that live across took some chairs out and sat down across and listened to it. Those neighbors were unable to actually go to Music Fest due to some personal limitations, but were very happy with us. They even at one point decided to get some fruit from us, which we decided to give it to them as a gesture for the support. But during the week, there was one person who was not happy with the restaurant. This person called us many times. At first, it was a nice, "Can you please turn down the music?" And as a response, we decided to turn it down. But as the week went by, the calls became more frequently, and this person even escalated to insults and cursed at us to turn off the music, to the point that the person that was handling the phone told me that he was getting uncomfortable. On Saturday night, the police arrived at the restaurant and told us they received a noise complaint and we need to turn off the music. We asked the officer, "Why? Is Music Fest over?" He just told us that we need to turn it off because there was a noise complaint. This is not the first time that this had happened to us. On Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, celebration, the police also came over to do a noise complaint. This has made us felt targeted and discriminated. No one else or any other business in Bethlehem or at Music Fest was shut down or received a noise complaint. This has not only affected our business, but also us employees, since we were counting on the extra hours for our families. Mr. Jay Creed, Eric Cayola, was performing at the restaurant that night. When the police officer arrived, he kindly asked him if he was familiar with the article of the City of Bethlehem, 717. At what the officer responded, not to be familiar with it. This is the same article which he was responding to, which was a noise complaint. No. I'm here just to ask not to be discriminated and for our establishment to be treated equally as other business in the City of Bethlehem. That's all. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming out, Mr. Avila, and the mayor's here and the chief of police are here that may be able to have a conversation with you while public comment's going on or after the meeting, or reach out to you, you know, in the future if need be, but they're here. Thank you, sir. Our next speaker tonight is Mr. Arthur Caratola.
Hey everybody, how y'all doing? I'm Artie Caratola, a 13 Law Officer Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Jose is a very Christian person. He's got a very good restaurant. I've been there for almost 3 years, performing twice a month, but I'm there the second Saturday of every month performing. And I was there past Saturday when the officer came in. The music wasn't that loud outside. It's the same person that makes the complaints. Now, maybe we should pass a law into an article in the city that three people, different people, have to make the complaints for the noise to stop. But it's not noise. He was playing the music, Mexican music, in an amplifier outside while I was performing inside. They didn't complain about me being too loud, but they complained about the music that he had very low outside, that he should be able to have play so people see it's a, here it's a Mexican restaurant. And we should be able to grant the people to be able to do that if it's at a lower value. But it's just one person that keeps on complaining. But that's what really was the one I'm going to talk about, but I had to talk about it, get that clear. The thing I really want to talk about is that there's a lot of organizations. I talked to you about Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace that I'm part of, that's linked with the United Nations, that had almost 250 million streamers last year when we did it on the 21st of September. This year is closed. You can't talk anymore. All the things are done. But you can get ready to say something on the next one. But if you see my stage, I gave Bethlehem a lot of plugs and Music Fest. And I even spoke at some of the place venues in Music Fest. So, in all respect, with us being the city of Bethlehem that was named after the city that Christ was born, we should have a festival of love and peace and at least have a few tents through that festival for praise and worship of Christianity. Other tents, other people that want to praise and whatever their beliefs are, or if they just want to have a tent on peace and world unity or something. If we can do this for other different hat festivals going on, such as the Celtic Fest, we should be able to also have it for Cinco de Mayo, have a Mexican festival. The Mexican people, the American Indians, the blacks, and the Irish, and many others have helped make this country what it is. If it wasn't for everybody, this being a melting pot, and we should all be working together as we have in the past, we would not have a United States. But here, in the city of Bethlehem, of all cities, we need to be an example for peace and world unity and to show the love. We should have a Love Peace Festival and at least have one or two tenths of Christianity, which some of the friends of mine came out here. A lot of people that are with different organizations are behind me on this, even as far as Philadelphia and New York and Chicago and Los Angeles. If you look on my stage, I have the Red Elvises on my stage from L.A. The lead singer is from Russia or Ukraine. I don't know. I don't want to start no war. But really, I was guided by my attorneys to speak to the law firm of my two Irish attorneys from the law firm of Argue and Fibs. But on a serious note, we got to pull together here and really spread the love. I'm Artie Curatola. God bless you all.
Thank you, Mr. Curatola. Our next speaker is, I believe the first name is Janet Buscemi.
Hi, my name is Jane Buscemi. You almost got it, minus the T. And I live at 1481 Kelchner Road, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Hello, President Cologne and City Council. I'm glad to be here tonight. Bethlehem holds a dear place in my heart and has been home base for about 35 years. I began my professional career as an educator in the Bethlehem Area School District for about 7 years, and then I went abroad to teach and did missions. In all of my travels, it's always been wonderful to return home to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a very unique place filled with family, love, community, and just wonderful memories that are always in the making. Later, I also was a small business owner and owned Stations Cafe, which is located next to the Aardvark on Main Street. I was part of the Downtown Bethlehem Association for 4 years and enjoyed being part of the marketplace. And I'm currently involved full-time with our family nonprofit ministry called Blazing Glory Ministries. And we are very grateful to ArtQuest for providing us the opportunity to host the Praise and Healing in the Valley at Music Fest a week ago today. Those who attended on that hot and sunny day were really blessed with the worship bands that performed at the T-Mobile Plaza Tropical. Everyone had an enjoyable experience and left with a smile on their faces. So what is Praise and Healing in the Valley? Well, it's a movement to bring encouragement together as brothers and sisters in God's family and to give thanks through praise, worship, and prayers. We've been carrying this movement for 1 year through the Lehigh Valley at a time when many people feel depressed, hopeless, and full of anxiety. Sound plays an important role in our daily lives, and we are impacted positively and negatively by sound. It can trigger beautiful or negative feelings. Even the silence speaks. Music is the language of the soul. Blazing Glory Ministries is planning a 10-day Praise and Healing in the Valley tent meetings from September 2nd to the 11th at 6:30 p.m. because we believe the sound that inspires and uplifts brings us together, and it is necessary in this time and this hour. So Bethlehem was founded upon three core strands of the Moravians, which was number one, unity and brotherly love, number two, worship and prayer, and number three, missions. And so today I stand before you with a humble request. I'm asking the City of Bethlehem and ArtQuest as the organizer of many Bethlehem events and the Bethlehem Police Station to consider partnering together to sponsor this 10-day Praise and Healing in the Valley tent meetings. We were looking for a location and we weren't sure where to start it, like Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton. But as we reflected on the history that's in Bethlehem, we were excited because we believe it's time to rekindle the Moravians, what they've sowed into the land, and to bring healing to this area. And I believe that collaborating together, we can bring unity and exhibit love as the first strand. We can offer residents of Bethlehem and the greater Lehigh Valley a time of worship and praise music as the second strand, and then be a mission of restored hope, peace, joy, and love to this region as a third strand of the three-chord Moravian strand. So I'm requesting that the tent that's down at the T-Mobile Plaza be left erected at this time, and for chairs and tables and porta potties, and that the advertising and marketing teams share platforms to get the word out, and asking for the police to collaborate with protection for this Praise and Healing in the Valley tent meetings. Blazing Glory Ministries would organize the worship bands for each evening, and I believe that together we can leave a resonating sound of love, joy, and peace in Bethlehem that would make the Moravians smile down upon us. This sound would ripple out into the greater Lehigh Valley, bringing a sense of unity, restored oneness, and overshadowing peace as the angels attend to the sound of worship, and hope in place of hopelessness, rest in place of anxiety, and healing in place of depression are released. The tent meetings are popping up all around the country, and I believe Bethlehem can be one of these special places on the map, too. I believe that this will be yet another successful event in addition to Music Fest, the Blueberry Festival, Celtic Festival, and the many other events that Bethlehem hosts. It will draw people into our lovely little town of Bethlehem, the Christmas City, and provide more revenue for small businesses. I believe this new addition would be returning to the roots of the Moravians, bringing us full circle as a city. So I'm requesting a quick deliberation in that September 2nd through the 11th is just around the corner. It's over the Labor Day weekend, which I think would draw out extra crowds. And I'm greatly honored to be here to speak to you and to bring this request before you today. So I thank you for your service to our city and for considering this request.
Thank you, Ms. Thank you, Ms. Buscemi. I would refer you to the administration about how special events are coordinated. That's not something that council would bring to the floor to approve, and that there is a process involving different city departments as it relates to special events. But again, if you would stick around to the end of the meeting, maybe your contact information could be shared, or just how we go about establishing these kinds of events or festivals. Our next speaker tonight is Samuel Santos.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Samuel Santos. I live at 37 North 5th Street in Easton, Pennsylvania. I'm here with my friends with the Blazing Glory Ministry, and we would like to propose, as my friend Jane has, about the use of the tent as well as the land. Thank you very much, President Colon, and for the rest of the council members for having us this evening. It's an honor, and it is a great privilege to be able to be here this evening. So as I said, my name is Samuel Santos. I'm a minister from the Rock Church of Easton in downtown Easton. I'm also a resident of Easton, Pennsylvania. I've been here my entire life. And it's an honor to present this petition before you all this evening. And there are three main reasons why I believe this will be beneficial for the people of the Lehigh Valley and also the communities in which the Lehigh Valley holds at large. The first reason I believe it will be beneficial is because we believe that the best is yet to come for the Lehigh Valley. As many of us are residents of this Lehigh Valley, Bethlehem, Easton, and Allentown, we cherish and we love every part of it, and so do we, and we want to see this valley grow and continue to prosper as it has in the many years as have gone by. And as this valley is all of our homes, we love and we cherish it. And we believe that by using the tent and the grounds, we will be able to spread the love and the healing that the God that we serve is able to give. By doing so, this will help and give those who are in need and bring them a helping hand in time of need. We also believe that we will be able to help those who are struggling with different circumstances, that we are able to come alongside them and be able to hold them and their families together and allow them to attain a relationship with the Lord that we believe in. The second reason I believe this will be beneficial is also my belief that as you give a person a set of mores that come from a higher place than just from within, that as we live by these standards of truth, it will also enable the citizens of this valley to better live out their civic duties, to love their neighbors as themselves, to not repay evil with evil, as we have seen so many times, and to respect and to pray for those in leadership, no matter which side of the aisle those leaders do land on. We do believe that this event will be able to comfort and help those in the valley, as well as in Easton, Allentown, and Bethlehem. I believe this meeting will provide healing and change, as well as a moral compass for which men and women can live by. And lastly, my last reason as to why I believe this will be significant is the spiritual significance of the land in which we live on. As it was dedicated by William Penn in 1682, who first founded Pennsylvania as a state set apart to God to be a land free of religious persecutions. Many people from all around the world at that time came to the colony, and we would wish to continue upon that legacy, as well as the history of this Bethlehem area, of the rich heritage of Moravians, which started, as some of you may know, as a prayer movement in Europe by Count Zinzendorf for over 200 years. And in that time, they had a 100-year prayer meeting. And also in that time, they sent missionaries over to this area, and they colonized this area. We believe by using the grounds and tent as a place of worship that we will continue to honor the Lord and the great men whose legacy can still be seen in this valley. I would like to thank you all for your time and for your attention, and may God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Santos. Our next speaker is Bruce Heimbach.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Bruce Heimbach. I live at 2508 Agnes Drive in Allentown. And I'm here also on behalf of Blazing Glory Ministries and Praise and Healing in the Valley. Praise and Healing in the Valley is about change and transformation. Music changes the atmosphere of a location and affects the hearts, the minds, the emotions, and the attitudes of those who hear it, positively or negatively, for the moment or even permanently, as a kind of music and message is heard over time, which is why we're seeking to have 10 days rather than just a single evening event. Music is an ingredient in forming people's lives as individuals, and individuals form and affect the atmosphere of a community, for good or for bad. Praise music brings the presence of God into the place where it is played and sung. The presence of God brings with it an atmosphere of peace, of joy, of love, of healing, and of hope that can change the hearts of those who hear it. And when individual hearts are transformed, the atmospheres in marriages, families, and homes are changed. As homes and families are changed in a positive way, communities and cities reap the benefits and are transformed in a powerful, positive way. Hope, true hope, reduces violence, creates cooperation, and causes people to see the good that is possible if we work together in love, honoring and respecting each other, and seeking the best outcomes for the city and the region in which we live. We truly believe that 10 consecutive days of praise and healing in the valley can and will have a transforming effect on this city and community through the presence of the Lord, whose love, joy, peace, and hope transforms hearts and lives. We are not a church or a denomination seeking members or to gain money. We just seek a location and an opportunity to see individual lives at this city and region transformed in a positive way by the presence of one greater than ourselves who wants the best for us all. I thank you for considering the request. I pray that whoever is in charge of that will catch the spirit of this and grant our request. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heimbach. Our next speaker is Howard Rice.
I'm Howard Rice. I live on 915 Wood Street, Bethlehem, PA. I thank you, leaders of the city here, for hearing us. I also represent Praise in the Valley. And who am I? Well, I was a pastor at a Bethlehem Community Fellowship on Marvine Street for 13 years. We established that church. We started a food bank because God said, I don't want you just to be there. We want you to help the community. That's why it was called Bethlehem Community Fellowship. So we mixed all kinds of people, black, white, Spanish, Asian, all together. And the church was formed and still is going today. And I was born in Bethlehem. I worked in Bethlehem Steel for 23 years. I served in the Air Force in Vietnam. And received many awards as a combat in combat as a crew member on a C-130. I also went to school here. I graduated from Liberty High School Tech School and also went to Northampton Community College. Our desire to hold these meetings has more to do with our heritage, just as I have a heritage in Bethlehem. It's about honoring those who have gone before us. It's about honoring the foundation of Bethlehem. The Moravians founded this city about 300 years. They'll be celebrating it in September. That is why these days are important, because they're a remembrance to the very foundations of our city. And so we're here, and we want to see the city become the community it was in the foundation. What was a foundation like anyhow? Well, they were not only religious, they were also entrepreneurs. They started many businesses, and all the businesses throughout the city were able to support one another. And everybody worked in community. They worked together. That's what we want to do. We want to work together in community with every other member that is here in this city. And so we're here for that purpose, and we're here to honor God, who is upmost higher than all. Whether I understand him or all I can say is that he knows, and he knows what's best for all of us. And so I just bring that before you, or this request, that we can bring the praise and bring the glory back into Bethlehem that its founders originally created. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Anne Marie Slavik.
Good evening, City Council members, President, and administration, and I want to give accolades to the police because I was in attendance at Music Fest, and they had a great presence there, and I thought it went pretty well. So I'm here tonight to support my friends here. My name is Anne Marie Slavik. I'm at 2445 Black River Road in Bethlehem. My ZIP is 18015. So we've all seen a lot of things happen over the past 2 years. Things in our community, things on the news. We all know what's happening to people. And unfortunately, things were happening prior to the COVID-19 outbreak. Teachers know, companies know, the police know. People are stressed, they're anxiety-ridden, and mental health can cause physical ailments. I found an article, and many are, can be cited on websites for educational institutions, universities, colleges. On the website of McGill University in Canada, there was an article that they had published in the Canadian Psychology Journal. Nancy Heath, a professor in the Department of Education and Counseling, Psychology at McGill, said, "We all expected that those with mental health issues were at risk due to the COVID-19 stressors. However, she cites that those university students without mental health concerns are consistently and significantly more negatively impacted by COVID-19. Our explanation is that social isolationism is hitting those without prior mental health difficulties much harder." I can cite numerous resources, Tulane University, the American Psychological Association, the CDC, cdc.gov, the government, Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, Regis College. They all cite loneliness and isolation causes mental illness, causes anxiety, adverse health consequences, sleeplessness, reduces immune function, which also can lead to more COVID, depression, poor sleep quality, impaired, and accelerated cognitive issues. These are all cited by educational institutions. People have become sad, lonely, fearful. People feel hopeless. They are anxiety-ridden about thoughts about what is going to happen next. They watch the news, and rightly so, that's what they hear. They're dealing with doom, they're dealing with gloom, and they're dealing with death. Unlike we've ever seen. They're dealing with uncertainty. As more isolationism continues with our technology, our children are used to that. They're not communicating amongst themselves like we used to in the past. My company has investments in providing mindfulness during work hours, meditation, yoga classes. They all say that it helps calmness, centering, and overall relaxation during work time to help people focus and stay present. What can people do who don't work? They don't have the resources. They don't have their companies giving them these free classes. They might not be able to afford them. So that's why we're here. We're just here because we want to help the community. We feel that worship, music in general, we feel that the touch from others, a feeling of purpose, meaningful relationships, this is what we're striving for people. This is what we're striving for our community. Give people hope, give them light, healing, and a better outlook for their future. Mental health increases and gets better, and then the physical health will as well. Love, hope, and peace. And that's what we're here to provide. That's what we're here asking for. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Austin Sullivan.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to address the City Council tonight. My name is Austin Sullivan. I live at 1705 East Greenleaf Street in Allentown. I first came to the Lehigh Valley in 1965, so I've been around for a few years. I was assigned to serve as a pastor of a little church in Bethlehem Township, and one of the things that we did while we were there was to invite young people from Teen Challenge to come to our congregation and to share with us what the principle was in the rehabilitation that they were finding regarding drug addiction. I contacted the juvenile division of the Bethlehem Police Department to invite them to come and hear what these young men had to say. And the answer I got was, we don't have a problem with drugs. Well, that was then. I wonder what the answer would be today. I don't know. Later, I went to the principal of the Miller Heights School. And I said, you know, this region, this school district, or this area, this school rather, is the only one that I know about in the city of Bethlehem that doesn't have release time classes for children. And I said, I wonder whether it'd be possible for us as our congregation to provide that kind of outlet for the children of the Miller Heights School. He said, if you we'll send a letter to the parents of the students, and at their choice, they can decide whether they want to be a part of that or not. And I was quite pleased with the amount of response that we got. The number of children that came, I think they represented more than 65 different churches in the whole of Allentown and Bethlehem. Someone has said that when God created us, He created us with a God-shaped void. And I think what that says is that inside each of us, there is that hunger that we don't know how to fulfill. We don't know how to replace it. We don't know how to respond. And so, when I hear of an opportunity to share the message that God loves us and He has provided for all of our needs with the many promises that are found in the Holy Scriptures, it gives me an enthusiasm to say, I want to be behind a program like that. This past Tuesday, we had the privilege of being a part of Music Fest, and I was pleased with the number of people that came into our tent and came to listen to the music, to hear the message of peace and joy and healing. And as a result, when an opportunity arises or something like that, I'm going to get right behind it. That's why I stand with Blazing Glory Ministries and Praise and Healing in the Valley. And I want to encourage them. I want to be a part of it. And I want to make this an availability to the people of the Lehigh Valley. I think our answer is not a physical answer. It's a spiritual answer. It's not a political answer. It's a spiritual answer. And I think that this is the direction that we need to go. I thank you for your time. I pray that you will hear the request and that a decision will be made that we will work together to see this opportunity arise. Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is David Bonner.
Good evening. Thank you for having me here tonight. My name is David Bonner. I live at 1725 Troxel Court in Allentown. President Cologne, distinguished members of the Bethlehem City Council, it is indeed an honor and a privilege to speak to you this evening on the subject of praise and healing in the valley. My family and I have deep roots here. My great-great-grandfather was keeper of the cupola in Bingen in 1870. My grandfather was an indentured servant here in Bethlehem in 1890. My father built Acme supermarkets up and down the valley in the late 1940s and 50s. My mother brought me to the valley for gatherings with the family, and those child sharp memories of the mills down along the river, of Monosie, and as you have later this evening on the agenda, of chickens. We used to have chickens in the backyard. That's what brought my family here 20 years ago. Along the way, I acquired a number of significant attachments. Family born, educated, married, and buried in South Bethlehem. Up and down the entire Lehigh Valley. The sculpture that we pass on our way in here was created by my brother-in-law in 1967, reflecting hundreds of thousands of steel reinforcing bars. What it means to be a true member of the Bethlehem community. Quote, an individual dedicated to ingenuity and progress, the fusion, the integration of nationalities, end quote. In the 1980s, I personally offered Bethlehem Steel to come and work together with them to turn it around. In 2004 and beyond, Ben Franklin Technology Partners invested a significant amount of money in the company that I lead called Thor Power and another company that we're emerging now, Lightning Bug Energy, for electric efficiency and energy independence for the consumer. I'm an economist by training. I didn't have a lot of religious development as a child. I spent a lifetime, 30 years, traveling the globe with my family, doing turnarounds and startups in all the different countries in the world, all seven continents. Together with my workmates, we created successful, light-filled visions that rose from the ashes of things that we were turning around. I can tell you from experience, faith is a key guiding principle for this. If you don't have the right values, you'll never be able to turn around anything. I love this valley. That's why I came back here. And our values and nurturing values are critical to that development. Today we continue that effort to bring grace, peace, and light back to our valley that folks have been hard at work trying to achieve for over 50 years. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at an inflection point in this valley and in this country. We're at a turning point, and we can make a difference in it. We're at the point which will turn all of those hard-won efforts over the last many years in a breakthrough. A breakthrough in education, efforts for jobs, efforts for science and technology and the arts, and efforts for spiritual unity. Back when the Moravians laid the foundation, we build on this today. And so I have every confidence the praise and healing in the valley and this 10-day tent meeting will unify courage, encourage, and strengthen the people of the valley and beyond. Thanks very much for your kind attention.
Our next speaker this evening is Angler Chambers.
Good evening, Council Chambers. My name is Angler Barclay Chambers, and I'm from Easton, 6 Ashley Court, Easton, Pennsylvania, 18045. I'm just here to quote a couple of scriptures, and the Bible said that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. United we stand, and divided we will fall. Praise God. And so I'm here in support of Blazing Glory Ministry, and pray that you will consider their request that the peace and the love of God will move in the community, in Bethlehem, and across the neighboring communities, and across the nation. I pray that you will grant them the request, and thank you so very much for having me. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Our next speaker this evening is Alex Hirsch.
I think I snuck into the middle of their group, so it's going to be a little change in topic for just a moment, and then back for that. My name is Alex Hirsch. I live at 738 Center Street, in Bethlehem, 18018. I've been there for 10 years in that house. I share that with my wife and our now young adult son who's out of the house. Prior to that, we lived at 731 Center Street for 15 years. So we like the 700 block of Bethlehem. I'm here to speak about the residential permit parking, which up until very recently I've very much enjoyed as a homeowner there. I've gotten several street sweeping tickets, but other than that, it's been great being able to park in the general vicinity of your home. That block is all on-street parking. None of us have driveways. We don't have alley access in the back. There are other properties from East Garrison across behind us. So it's been tremendous. Recently, there have been some changes in my life, and I now split my time between two locations, one of which is out of state. I have a Rhode Island driver's license. My vehicle is registered in Rhode Island. And upon accomplishing that, I went to the parking authority to update my information with them and discovered that I am now in a frustrating limbo where I am ineligible, apparently, to park in residential parking. I'm a homeowner. I pay individual local income tax here in the city. There are exceptions for people who have out-of-state plates if you're a student. Thankfully, those days are past for me, although I did contemplate enrolling at NAC for a course if that would be some sort of a solution for this. I'm now several weeks into this. I did address the Parking Authority Board They heard me, they understood, but their process is to not make exceptions, and I understand that. They've got rules. The way it's, I'm understand it is that the requirement is to have a license listing the address and your vehicle registered there, neither of which I have. And yet, I am still somebody who part-time, but resides here in the city, in a home that I own. There are exceptions if you're a student. I am not. There are exceptions if you have an out-of-state plate and you're employed full-time in the city. I'm employed full-time in Easton, so I don't meet that. I'm really at a loss. What I'm here to ask is, since there are no defined exceptions that I seem to meet the rules for, that City Council consider updating the ordinance to include an individual's local income tax as a means of demonstrating residence. I'm living here, paying my tax here. I can't think of a more kind of direct documentation of the situation that I'm in. I have no idea how many other people are in a situation like this. There must be some if the rule exists. I don't think it would be any sort of a burden on the parking. I'm simply asking to continue a permit for the vehicle that I had a month and a half ago that now has a different license plate and I have a different driver's license. That's really my full request, is to consider that. Or the other one would be the existing special permit, which is if you work in the city, to maybe expand the radius of that to the Lehigh Valley, so that you could show employment in this area. But I think the income tax is the one that makes the most sense to me. So that's all I've got. Thank you for your consideration, and please do consider it, because currently I have no options other than to park in the city garage about a half mile from my house. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. We, of course, don't have anybody from the Parking Authority here. I don't know if Mayor Reynolds wants to...
We can grab Mr. Hirsch's phone number and check in with the Parking Authority on this particular situation, and then follow up if there was any rule changes. But the easiest thing to do is probably for us to just to grab your number and then have a conversation with Mr. Fernstrom and the Parking Authority to see the situation and the details before we do anything else. But we can absolutely do that.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Our next speaker signed up is Princess Linton. I apologize if I'm misreading your last name.
Good afternoon, everyone. Council meeting.
Do you mind just pulling the mic down, please?
Sure.
You won't break it. Thank you.
Okay. I'm very short. My name is Princess Linton, and I live at 1221 Tatamir Road in Easton, PA 18045. I am a restaurant owner, Jamaican restaurant, Princess Authentic Jamaican Food, and a member of the Soul Winners Pentecostal Church, and I am here to support Praise in the Valley. They are just bringing people to people and people to God. It's a good mission, and we'd like to have you consider the request. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker signed up is Beth Reynock.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. I see that everyone has joined us. My name is Beth Reynock. My husband and I are moving out of 1723 Shanersville Road due to a nightmare. We have been renting this home since October of 2020 from a gentleman who has been funded by his father. The landlord, who I will not mention, did everything in his power to keep us happy for quite some time. When we first occupied the house, we asked, "Does the house flood?" And they lied and said no. And then immediately, within a few weeks, we had inches of water in the basement and there was severe property damage. The flooding continued and the moisture and the mold continued to grow in the home. My daughter had respiratory issues living in the home. She has now moved out and the respiratory issues have ceased. We have expressed to the landlord multiple times over the past several months that we wanted the home to be repaired. They had allocated funds set aside to improve and update the basement bathroom. The basement was used for utility space, it was used for storage, and what ended up happening was I told them, "You will fix the basement or we will report you to the city." And so the landlord and his father, the father funds the real estate projects, like I said, they own multiple properties around Bethlehem. They also own a restaurant in Bethlehem. So I will tell you that this situation has been less than, well, let's put it this way. I've been losing sleep. It has set me into severe trauma. And I am a business owner here in Bethlehem. I have owned and operated a small catering company for nearly 7 years. I rent a commercial kitchen in the Hanover Township Community Center. Jay Finnegan, the township supervisor of Hanover Township, has been advising me throughout this. And when he heard of what was going on, he contacted me and he gave me an hour of his time. And he said, "Well, in Hanover Township, to protect tenants from unsafe living conditions, we have an ordinance where every single time that a new tenant is to occupy a space, it must have a full point inspection through whatever means, through their inspectors in their municipality." So they do this to protect the tenants from unsafe living conditions, and it has saved lives. There have been several other members of our city and community that have expressed to me that they have also been at the mercy of slumlords in the city. Now, we have done everything that we have, everything that we could to try to make it very clear that we're trying to hire a lawyer and bring the landlords, we're asking to them to be held accountable. I came to the city of Bethlehem back in May, and they gave me the runaround, sending me to multiple different departments, and nobody seemed to want to help. We did not qualify for help because we made too much money. So all of the organizations within the city that would normally help somebody in this situation were not available to us. I was very grateful for the advice of the Attorney General's office, who has been trying to advise us through all this. And everyone in the city, once I've gotten in touch with them, Mike Simonson, you were very helpful. Thank you. Zach did his best to help us. Thank you. Joe Chernaski came out with Brian, two inspectors. They were sent from the city to inspect the home. And they said to us, after inspecting the home, "On behalf of the city of Bethlehem, we would like to officially apologize that you slipped through the cracks. Unfortunately, I didn't video record it, and I don't have it in writing." So, oh, here we are. This is over 3 months past since the landlord has come in and did the mold remediation in the basement. We have found another place to live in Emmaus, and we can't move into the home that we've been paying rent for since August 1st because we need an independent inspector to come out to the home. So the independent inspector is going to come out and assess the types of mold and things like that. Now, working as a chef in a commercial kitchen, there are standards for that, there are codes, health departments, the Department of Ag, they are all required to uphold the standards when we're feeding the public. So if there was black mold in the corner near my storage area that may be near dry goods, I spoke to my Department of Ag guy, Kevin Beers, and he said, well, what we would first do, we would first assess what type of mold it is, and then we would have to figure out how to remediate the mold. And he said, why don't you call the DEP? Well, I called them and I emailed them and they told me, Beth, we are not responsible for mold issues. Isn't that wonderful? The Department of Environmental Protections don't want to get involved either. So here we are at the city council meeting. I have lost hundreds of hours putting my time into building this case since May. Now, I'm asking the city council to consider please bringing back the ordinance that would protect tenants from unsafe living conditions. I'm asking that we receive the full report. I filed a right to know, and if we have to, we will receive the full report through discovery. We are asking that you please hold these people who, it's a business arrangement. You pay somebody money to be able to live in a dwelling that they provide for you. And by law, their dwelling should be safe. And when the dwelling is not safe, people are hurt and some people die. Black mold, you can die in your sleep from black mold. It's just growing in your air conditioning. It's beautiful. It grows on the walls and then it goes into the ventilation systems and it happens every day around the world. So, because there's no law protecting citizens from mold and things like that, maybe we should reconsider. Okay? Thank you very much for your time. I would also like to publicly apologize for my behavior. I have been under extreme duress, and I mean no disrespect. I'm a business owner. I'm asking for your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Raynock, and of course we're here following the meeting if you would speak to council individually. And the administration's here, of course, also. Our next speaker signed up is Pam Fisher-Vale.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm a newcomer to Bethlehem. I've been here since November of 2020. I live at 707 Fayot Avenue in Bethlehem. 18015 is my zip code. I'm here to speak on behalf of Praise and Valley. And I would like to speak about my experience here because when you come as a newcomer into a community, you want to find a place to belong. And I found that place with Jane and her family. They've open their arms to me. They treat me with tremendous respect, and I would say that without them, I wouldn't feel like I have much family here because my kids are grown, and when you're on your own, it's real easy to fall into the stuff my sister talked about here about isolationism and feeling alone. I do believe that this is a heart cry in this community for the government to work together with the church and with the people of faith to see something beautiful happen in this community. And I thank you for your time to listen to all of us and the considerations. And I believe in what they're talking about, that it would bring peace here, that it would further joy and hope and love. And this lady here, I just wanted to hug her. Because that's tremendous to go through, and I think I'm a common example of a person that is in this kind of environment that sees the community as a loving person and wants good and doesn't want to see violence erupt here and things that we see going across this country. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker is David Thompson. Is David Thompson still here? Thank you. Well, that concludes our list, so I'm going to go around the room as is customary. Anyone who did not sign up to speak will still have an opportunity if you haven't addressed council yet. And I'll start on the left side of the room. This is again for anything that is not being voted on this evening. Is there anyone to the left who would like to make comment on anything not being voted on? I turn my attention to the center. Yes, in the second row. I ask that you come to the lectern, please, just for the microphone.
My name is Michelle Hazard. I live at 650 Grove Street in North Catasauqua, and I am a borough councilwoman for North Catasauqua, and I am very impressed to see that the women outnumber the men here. So, you know, Brian, so it was nice to see him walking across the parking lot. Yes, we are a small town, but one of our key things is, yes, we have a lot of residential with a lot of elderly people who are passing on, and outsiders coming and buying these homes up and then turning them into rental properties. We also have some of the buildings where people are only renting for like a week or two. Key Codes is our inspector, and we have gotten very firm in getting our ordinances, crossing our T's, dotting our I's, to protect not only the landlords but also the tenants, because no one should be leaving a facility or arriving and not having conditions to live in up to par. So I am here to support Beth. Just knowing how in our town we are very conscientious for everyone to have a safe place to live. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Mr. Encalis?
Stephen Encalis. 7th Ridge. I was quite surprised by two council comments on our SQUIS COA issue. Rather than detailed justifications for the vote, what I heard sounded like pleas from a private citizen and a sales presentation from a representative of an arts institution. The former council member speaking, in my opinion, spoke as a previous artist and educator, presented a rambling discourse, devoid of facts, but responded with miscellaneous. The latter member presented an expansive dissertation on the inadequacies of the existing structure and the need for replacement. The presentation was replete with the display of one of its art products. Both missed the point. The vote was to determine the plan for destruction and the style of the new structure, thereby making both presentations primarily emotional. Now, there is no question that these two council members are generally well-intentioned, but I fear their subjective involvement with it, the art institution, has clouded their objectivity as representatives of the community at large, their true role. I was quite taken by the professionalism and great research effort in the vote justification of another council member. This member addressed in great detail the needs of all parties involved, the city, the art institution, and the citizenry. An idea was also offered as an alternative which would benefit all. Primarily, relocation of the new building and resulting in the consolidation of ArtsQuest. The reduction of brownfields by this relocation. Historic preservation and potential addressing the needs of the citizenry. This member exhibited great insight into the needs of the citizenry by addressing an old plan for an intermodal system to assist impoverished Southside citizens' transportation needs. Does this insight come from the advantage of being a native and a longtime resident of the city? Longevity and birth are not requisites, but they seem to help in some difficult situations. Another council member's comments were primarily patronizing. One member felt a need to comment not only on the issue at hand, but found it more important to comment also on the number of qualified individuals being dismissed from critical historic commission positions. This would have been a powerful topic for the new business section, and thus allowing all members to weigh in on this grievous issue. Council on a number of occasions has stressed the importance of Southside historic preservation and decried past council's approving special interest projects on the south side which were rejected by historic commissions. What now appears to be simple lip service, the present council has continued this process. If we reevaluate the present council versus its predecessors, maybe the primary difference might be that they have different names.
Thank you, Mr. Antalix. Is there anyone else in the center who hasn't had a chance to comment yet who would like to give comment to council? Looking to the right, is there anyone in the right who'd like to? Sure.
Okay, my name's Lou Applegate. I live on Shakespeare Road in Bethlehem. This is directed at Mayor Reynolds. Why can't I get a meeting with you, one-on-one? I call your office. My son emailed your office, and they won't give us a meeting with you. It concerns sewer backup. I think I can prove that the city is at fault. The insurance company claims no. The insurance company won't even talk to me. He won't have a meeting with me. And I want to know, what must I do to get a meeting?
Mr. Applegate, I ask that you address council at this meeting, and that this is your I ask that you address council with your comments at the meeting, and you're more than welcome to stay after the meeting if you wanted to have a conversation with anyone. This is your opportunity to make comment to council.
Okay, well, I'd like to ask council why the mayor won't have a meeting with me.
And you've been heard, sir. We're not going to speak for the mayor, but you are welcome to, like I said, stay till after the meeting if you'd like to be here to have any one-on-one conversation, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone else in the room? I'll go around one last time who hasn't had a chance to make comment yet who would like to. All right, continuing on with our agenda. We don't have anyone signed up for public comment on anything that is being voted on. So again, I will go around the room. Is there anyone who wanted to make comment on any ordinance or resolution that is being voted on this evening? I start to the left. I turn to the center. And I conclude to the right. All right, we have none. I will continue on with old business. Any old business from members of council? Communications? Communication 6A.
Memorandum from Police Captain Michael Leeser, dated July 26, 2022, to which is attached a resolution in support of 2022 Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant. An application is being made to receive up to $17,894. This grant would be used to continue improvements to computer hardware and software.
I will accept a motion and a second to schedule a public hearing on the proposed 2022 Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant on Tuesday, September 6, 2022 at 7 p.m.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Kwiatek, second by Ms. Ramsey Smith. The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. A public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, September 6, 2022 at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. Communication 6B.
A memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending approval of two change orders for a contract with Ankiewicz Enterprises Incorporated for the Pierce Street Sewer Replacement Project. Change order one increases the total of this portion of the contract to $273,940. Change order two increases this portion of the contract to $39,042. The change order is due to increases in prevailing wage rates from the time of the original bid in 2017 to the notice to proceed issued in 2021. Project delays were attributed to utility interferences that had to be addressed before the commencement of the sanitary sewer work. The change also was due to the need to replace an existing inlet.
And resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
Memorandum with an attached resolution from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Wexcon Incorporated to install two catch basins and five manholes to intercept stormwater from West Gep Street and convey underground to an existing storm sewer on West Spruce Street to address nuisance flooding. The term is 90 days. The cost of the contract is $184,550. There are no renewals.
And resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum with an attached resolution from Mike Wildcall, Director of Public Works, recommending updating and including all traffic signals under one traffic signal maintenance agreement with PennDOT. The city still will be required to submit applications to PennDOT each time a signal is upgraded or modified, but under this agreement, a separate resolution will no longer be needed to update the corresponding maintenance agreement.
And resolution 10D is on the agenda. And finally, communication 6E.
Memorandum from Council President Michael Cologne establishing the renewal fee for a backyard chickens permit. The resolution complements the proposed amendment to Article 1159.18, Section E, Subsection 5, Paragraph 2, stating the renewal fee shall be established by resolution of City Council.
And Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Moving on to reports. President Council, I just wanted to briefly address the room, just some thoughts that came from some questions that individuals had of me in referencing certain council rules that we have on the books and things like that. For anyone not aware, council has council rules just kind of that dictate how we run the council meeting. And then I, as president, essentially just serve as chair and am given some discretion. I'll reference two of them. Rule number three is the 5-minute time limit for when people speak during public comment. I appreciate everyone who comes out. Most people stay within 5 minutes. I try to be gracious in how I allow people more time, and sometimes when there's an overflow in the room, I'm not so gracious, and I use my discretion to try to judge that the best I can. Another council rule that has been cited to me is Council Rule 5, which is when it comes to speaking on agenda items, it says that a member of council is only permitted to speak twice. The third time is at the discretion of the chair, and a fourth time to speak on agenda item requires taking into a vote of council. I don't know if anyone notices, but I do not keep hash marks up here as we go through different agenda items. That being said, I hope that it is obvious to those that my intention is to run these meetings loosely as it relates to council rules, like I said, and where I use my discretion. That being said, my goal at every council meeting is for everyone to be heard, for council members to be heard, for members of the public to be heard, for the administration and the department heads to be heard, because I appreciate everyone joining us for every meeting. Yes, it is a city council meeting. The mayor and all the department heads avail themselves to every meeting to be here to answer questions, and sometimes are turned to for simply opinions of things. Members of the public come out to give public comment, which I understand, given the structure, may at times even be frustrating when we are not responding to questions, because that's not the intent of public comment. But while everyone is being heard, the last couple meetings, and we've had some spirited meetings lately, if we're being honest, last meeting there were some disagreements, there were some split votes, there were some motions on the floor against other pieces of legislation. Some had support, some didn't have support. And now, as I finish my seventh year on council, I've been part of a number of kind of spirited discussions. Sometimes I was in the minority vote, sometimes I was in the majority vote. But just like my goal is for everyone to be heard, and I want to give everyone an opportunity to speak and communicate, I don't want disagreement to turn into disrespect, because my fear is always that disrespect could turn into dysfunction. And while, again, by title, it's a city council meeting, this is really a peek into the operation of Bethlehem City Government. Like I referenced, everyone comes out, the public's here, we record these so everyone can see it, and I want us to be able to continue to come out twice a month, act with each other in good faith as we legislate. I'm not here to police the tone of the room, but I am asking, as I run these meetings loosely, as I use my discretion for everything, that we all operate kind of on a baseline level of courtesy with each other, so that we could continue to, again, move things forward as we try to and accomplish the things that we set out to at every meeting. So, thank you. And that concludes my report. I'll turn to you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, we have a couple of reports. First is I have the chief next to me who's going to talk about Music Fest in a second, but I do want to thank everybody. I want to thank our public safety departments. I want to thank everybody with Arts Quest, the volunteers, the small businesses. As I think everybody probably saw today, there's an estimate of over 1.24 million people, which according to Arts Quest is the biggest music fest they've ever had, which is a testament to where our city is. The fact that you could go out there and you could talk to people from Bethlehem, from Lehigh Valley, from all over the place that came to Bethlehem to be part of that spirit and as a reminder of what we are. So I do want to thank everybody in this room for their support during the past 10 days. And the chief is going to talk a little bit about her own report as far as the overall citation numbers and things like that over the past 10 days.
Hi, good evening. So as released today by Arts Quest, more than 1.24 million people attended Music Fest this year, breaking 2019's record. From a public safety perspective, our police department handled 89 calls for service, with 33 of those calls occurring on the south side of the city and 56 occurring on the north side of the city. Over the course of the 10-day festival, we had just 21 arrests, 18 of which were summary arrests. An analysis of arrestees indicates that 81% of the individuals arrested were males who reside outside of the city of Bethlehem. Furthermore, 71% of the individuals arrested were white, non-Hispanic, or Latino. This past Saturday evening, officers bravely responded to an incident on Main Street between West Lehigh and Spring Street. Initial reports were conflicting due to the volume of people in the vicinity of Plaza Tropical. However, officers were able to quickly locate a 20-year-old male who had a gunshot wound to the abdomen. A and he was transported by city paramedics to a local hospital for treatment, where he remains in stable condition. I am extremely proud of our officers, who spent numerous hours throughout the festival working to keep our community and festgoers safe. Their professionalism and diligence this past Saturday was truly awe-inspiring. Not only were they immediately able to locate and render aid to the 20-year-old male, but they also safely evacuated the areas surrounding the crime scene in an effective manner. Thanks to the officer's actions and that of ArtsQuest staff, additional injuries to patrons were avoided. At this time, I also want to thank our partners in public safety from the Bethlehem Fire Department and the City of Bethlehem paramedics for everything they did throughout the festival to keep everyone safe. And I want to thank our law enforcement partners that every year continue to show up and help us provide a safe environment for people. The Pennsylvania State Police, Palmer Township Police Department, the Lancaster Police Department, and all our federal partners. Thank you.
And I would just add to that that over the past 10 days, you know, every time I came to City Hall and Chief Cott and Deputy Meixel and Chief Aki and Mr. Novotnik, we're here putting in long hours. I do want to publicly thank them. Chief Aki is here as well tonight for the amount of work that they put in over the last 10 days. And I especially want to thank the police department. You know, there were a lot of shifts to be covered, that go above and beyond the amount of people that are on duty. But those are voluntary shifts. And as the week went on and Sunday came around, that there were additional officers that signed up for those shifts where previously they had not planned to. And they volunteered to do that, partly as a response to make sure that we had a successful Sunday. And I think there was a lot of pride in the fact that they wanted to come out and serve the people of Bethlehem. And I did want to publicly thank them because, I mean, of course, we've talked a lot about between officers in the academy and just, you know, when we have our civil service test and, you know, the amount of, you know, vacancies we have through retirements that we've been trying to fill. You know, you can have all the shifts, you can have the money to pay the officers, but you need people to do work, just like we need people to pave the streets and things like that. And there were a lot of officers that came out this weekend to put in extra time that I wanted to publicly thank. So thank you, Chief Cott, thank you, Chief Aki, and thank you to all of our public safety departments who really stepped up and provided that safety during the past 10 days. So the other update we had was I did want to let Ms. Collins talk a little bit about a completely different topic, recycling. We've had some things going on in the past couple weeks that we wanted to tell council about as it relates to recycling, because it certainly will be an issue as the months, as we close in on the budget time. So I wanted to let Ms. Collins talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. President Colon, Council. So a brief update on our recycling program. The city's currently in a four-year contract with Republic Services for our curbside and yard waste recycling. So the contract has the option for one-year renewals for a total of 5 years. And the four-year contract, the main contract, ends at the end of this year. And we learned at the beginning of this month, on August 3rd or 4th, I want to say, that Republic is not renewing our contract, is not choosing to extend for that one-year option. So we attempted to negotiate for another year, and that negotiation failed, which means that we are going to have to go out to bid for the curbside and yard waste recycling. So as the mayor said, we felt it was important to, you know, sort of preview that and talk a little bit about what we understand to be the current market conditions and the challenges. So Republic has informed us that, you know, like other communities across the country, they are dealing with a number of staffing issues, supply chain issues, and also fuel charges, of course. So what we are seeing in other communities who are going out to bid, like these, what's playing out because of these trends are increases that are 50, 60, sometimes 70, even 100% increases, which is obviously a really big deal. So another one of the factors that we're looking at, Republic has set a unique challenge in Bethlehem, is that we are a dual stream system. I think we are one of less than 5% of municipalities in the state and broader region that runs a dual stream system. That presents a number of challenges, which, I mean, we can talk in more depth about, but they have less trucks, so they can't replace the trucks when, you know, something breaks. That causes service issues. We fine for service issues, causes additional staffing challenges, and it's really just an additional cost. And it's so much of an additional cost for them that they're willing to walk away from this pretty large contract. And to put it in perspective, for 2022, I believe our contract was about $1.12 million. So the math on 50, 60, 70, 100% increase is pretty simple. So we are going to go back out to bid, and we will include, we're putting together bid specs that include both a dual and a single stream option. So then we'll have to evaluate when those come in. It's possible, you know, we may not even see dual stream bids, or maybe we will see them. It remains to be seen, but wanted to put on everyone's radar that those are some considerations that we'll have to make. And also, of course, we'll have to consider, you know, to balance the budget, what that might mean for residents. The ordinance currently provides that it's a $70 per year charge, so we'll probably have to take a look at that as well. That is my update.
Thank you, Ms. Collins. And I think just to kind of summarize that is that it seems unlikely that we're going to be able to keep it at $70. I think the last time, and we had looked at this today, I think the last time we raised that fee was in 2016, I think it was. Is that correct? So one of the choices that we're going to, or the options that City of Bethlehem's going to have to consider, is both single stream or dual stream, and what appears to be a higher cost for both, but an even higher cost for dual stream than single stream, if we get any necessary bids there. And because they opted out at the beginning of August, as Ms. Collins said, we need to put out that RFP in the near future. So we are putting both of those options out there, but we thought that it was very important for us to come to City Council as quickly as possible to just explain, not something that's gonna, we're gonna necessarily just recommend and put in the budget, but we wanted to bring to all of our attention now. So if we do end up raising that fee and looking at these different options, we have an understanding of where it's from, where it's coming from. And obviously, we can talk more in depth about this at another time or at a committee meeting or something like that. But we did want to put it on everybody's radar. And then the last thing I would say is I would be remiss if I didn't also thank Mr. Alcohol and everybody with Public Works for their work during Music Fest. It's been a very busy time for Mr. Alcohol. You may not notice this from his cool demeanor, but he has been, there's been a lot of work going on. You probably noticed the garage floors being worked on. We have a number of vacancies in his department, so as we all know, it can be particularly frustrating when you have the money, when you have these things planned, and you don't necessarily have the people to be able to do it. So we've been working through a lot of that, but Mr. Alcohol took on more than ever during Music Fest, and his employees did as well. So all of the city employees that helped out, but I want to make sure I thanked him as well. And that concludes my report. Michael, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Thank you, Chief Cobb. Thank you, Ms. Collins. Moving on to the report from our Human Resources and Environment Committee, Ms. Wilhelm.
Yes, the Human Resources and Environment Committee met earlier this evening, August 16, 2022 at 5:30 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee reviewed proposed amendments to the zoning ordinance regarding solar energy. After discussion, the committee voted unanimously to accept all proposed amendments and forward the bill to full council for consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilhelm. Moving on to ordinances for final passage. If the clerk will read Bill 16-2022.
Proposed amendment to the ordinance of the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Lehigh, and Northampton Counties, Pennsylvania, an ordinance permitting keeping of backyard chickens in residential areas in limited quantities and under certain conditions by amending Article 1159 of the Bethlehem City Code. Bill 16-2022 is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Kliatek.
Discussion? Ms. Leo?
I was able to talk to multiple people on council, work very well with Dr. Van Wert and the Chief of Police, and we've all agreed that a lot of this ordinance is going to be butting up against public safety. So I would like to make a motion to push this to the Public Safety Committee.
I second.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor to send the chicken ordinance to public safety by Ms. Leone, a second by Dr. Enix. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Pinella?
Mr. President, I know it's odd for the solicitor to chime in at this point, but just for clarification, Councilwoman, would your motion also include, just for the sake of discussion here, include the Resolution 10A and any proposed ordinances and anything involving this specific ordinance?
Yes, I believe I meant to say motion to move Resolution 10A and all of the applicable documents to committee. So yes,
just
everything
sure.
Regarding the chickens.
And Dr. Enix, you still second that, including the resolution?
Yes, I do.
So the motion is the chicken ordinance and associated resolution 10A. Discussion on sending this to committee? Well, seeing none, I will ask the clerk to call the roll on sending the chicken ordinance to Public Safety Committee.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passes 7-0. A Public Safety Committee meeting will be scheduled by Council and Chairperson Leone to review the amendments regarding chickens. Continuing on, if the clerk will read Bill 18 of 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Bethlehem at Part 13 of Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, Definitions. Bill 18, 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Gramsci Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We will read Bill 19, 2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Bethlehem at Part 13 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, Industrial Redevelopment and Industrial Redevelopment Residential Zoning Districts. Bill 19-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Gramsci Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The clerk will read Bill 20-2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Bethlehem at Part 13, the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, IN/O Industrial Overlay District. Bill 2022 is sponsored by Ms. Gramsci Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Seeing none, we will call the roll.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We will read Bill 21-2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 21-2022 was sponsored by Ms. Gramsci Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. There are no new ordinances tonight. Moving on to resolutions, the clerk will read Resolution 10B.
The Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Ankiewicz Enterprises Incorporated to implement two change orders associated with Pier Street Sewer Replacement Project. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. It passes 7-0. Moving on to Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Wexcon Incorporated for installation of stormwater runoff improvements in the area of West Gep Street. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The clerk will read Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem approves and ratifies the traffic signal maintenance agreement with Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. Be it further resolved that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to submit this agreement to the Department of Transportation, to submit future modifications to the agreement, and to sign this agreement on behalf of the City of Bethlehem. And be it further resolved that the Director of Public Works and Deputy Director of Public Works and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor be authorized to sign and submit future applications for traffic signal approval, either in writing or via electronic signature, to the Department of Transportation on behalf of the city. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion.
Quick comment. I actually found this document nerdily fascinating, and I appreciated learning how the relationship works between PennDOT and a municipality like Bethlehem, in that there's this sort of shared responsibility for traffic signals, where there's a whole thing that goes back and forth when you're commissioning or repairing them, and I just wanted to for the public to know that what this agreement does is really, it looks like, streamline the process of how the record keeping happens, how that relationship continues on. So I just wanted to let people know that it's a very long agreement, and it's bureaucratic and strange, but I think important for our safety. And so thank you for putting the time into working through the agreement.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. I will accept a motion and then a second to consider resolutions 10E through 10I as a group.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Dr. Van Wert, second by Ms. Kwiatek. Any discussion on the motion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. The motion passes 7-0. The clerk will read the resolutions.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem resolutions, are hereby granted for 36 East Wall Street to remove a wood fence and wood arbor, construct a 6-foot-high brick wall along the rear and side lot line, and install a 6-foot-high wrought iron gate that will be painted black. 408 North New Street to remove existing fencing and replace it with similar unpainted fencing. 455 High Street to replace existing roofing with GAF slate line shingles in the antique slate color. 516 Main Street to install a non-internally illuminated well-hung sign, 130 East Wall Street to replace gutters and shutters with similar material, as well as repaint siding, window trim, and door trim. Resolutions are sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the COAs? House the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. That concludes tonight's agenda. We move on to new business. Any new business from members of council? Ms. Leon?
The library is suspending late fees for about 2 weeks while the garage gets repaired, so I just wanted to let everybody know if you have library books that are due in the next 2 weeks, you will not get penalized. I also wanted to thank Keith Cott and honestly everybody within the administration. Gunfire is chaotic. Regardless of how it's targeted in the crowd, it's very chaotic, and just the amount of press releases that you put out to keep people informed, that type of steady leadership is just something that we're just so fortunate to have within the city.
Any other new business from members of council? I'll just say that as it relates to Music Fest, thank you to everybody involved. I know I would imagine I saw mostly council there. I would assume everyone was there at one point and then some, you know, in this room and beyond. And unfortunately, what happened Saturday night, obvious tragedy. And it has to be mentioned that in a time of panic like that, there's a group running away and then there's a group running too. And our police department and all the other partners of the city, the paramedics, you know, whomever else was responding to that is owed a big thanks from everyone for responding the way they did to that. And while that's an unfortunate event, I would say that Music Fest as a whole, I believe, and we already talked about the attendance this year, and I know I, like most people, invite friends and family from out of town that have moved away over the years that like to come back specifically for Music Fest, and everyone had a safe festival, and the weather was good, which is always nice, especially considering the blazing heat that we've had. I appreciate the updates from Ms. Collins. I'll just put a plug in, and you have to answer for to potential pizza box inclusion in the recycling. That's just my that's my 2 cents on that. And then lastly, I'll just say we are having a meeting for the Committee of the Whole here on Tuesday, September 20th at 5:30 in Town Hall, and this would be to continue the discussion on a proposed conflict of interest ordinance. So again, that'll be 5:30 on September 20th here in Town Hall to continue that conversation. And then lastly, just to comment, I know I briefly touched on the group that came out and speak of that festival. I know there was mention of certain dates and things like that. I referred you before to the administration, and I would just say that's something I'm not going to speak on a process council's not involved in, other than just your timeline seems pretty tight. So I hope that you, if it doesn't work out for that timeline, that you don't get discouraged by that and work within the process so that there is a potential to maybe put something together in the future, even if it isn't exactly what you're trying to do in the next few weeks. Any other new business from members of council? Mr. Mayor?
Just that we are very excited about having the public safety meeting. It's going to be our first one in a while, so we're looking forward to it, exploring citizen concerns as well as the administration's concerns. We've been receiving pro-chicken, negative chicken calls down in the service center, and I really feel like this is a good way for us to get together and systematically go through everything and explore all of the different concerns surrounding the issue so we get it right.
Understood.
And I appreciate all the conversation from council members about it. Again, my door is always open. Thank you for reaching out.
Thank you, Chief Cott. If there's no other new business, this meeting is adjourned. Get home safely.
City Clerk Miller, I have some questions. How are you doing?
How are you?
Good, good to see you. Looking good, sir. How's it going?
probably better.
Yeah. How's it going? Everything going good? We're overdue for a get together.
Doing well.
Good. How are you?
Good.